Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
The Beyond Sleep Training Podcast, a podcast dedicated to sharing real tales of how people have managed sleep in their family outside of sleep training culture. Because sleep looks different with a baby in the house. And because every family is different, there is no one-size-fits-all approach to take. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which this podcast is being recorded, the Kalkadoon people. I pay my respects to the elders of this nation and the many other nations our guests reside in from the past, present and emerging. We honour Australian Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people and the unique cultural and spiritual relationships to the land, water and seas, as well as their rich contributions to society, including the birthing and nurturing of children. Welcome back to the Beyond Sleep Training Podcast. I'm your host, Carly Grubb, and with me today is my neighbour, Therese Collings. Hi, Therese.
Hi.
So it's a little bit of a different episode for me today because normally my guests are somewhere remote and usually very far away from where I live, seeing as I live in the Australian outback. But I'm very lucky to have Therese as a neighbour straight across the road from me, and she's joining us today to talk a bit about sleep with her family. So welcome to the show, Therese.
Thanks.
And would you like to tell our listeners who's who in your little family?
In my zoo.
In your zoo. Your crew.
Yeah. So we've got nearly three little ones, three under three.
Oof.
Or three and under.
Oof.
So, yeah, we've got Cora, who's three. Then we've got Amaria, who's two next month. And then we've also got a teenager in the house at the moment, being a 14-year-old, so that's an interesting sleep comparison.
Yeah, so we'll have to talk a bit about teen sleep as well.
And then obviously myself and my husband, Ross. So, yeah, quite a varying range of...
You've got the blended family sleep, going on.
Yeah.
Lots of age ranges there. So tell us, how did you think you were going to approach sleep before you had your first baby?
Didn't even think about it at all. I just went, oh, you just put them down for sleep and they're gone. That was that.
No more thought. So because
absolutely no more thought.
Stay with your husband because he's got his two older boys. Did he have any?
So he did FIFO with them when they were younger. So for the first year of the 14-year-old's life, he was working away for up to 13 weeks at a time. So he had no...
So really his first experience as well.
So we both went in with everyone just puts them down in their cot. Like, that's what happens. Okay, no worries. And so my first encounter with the whole my kids not sleeping was the second night in hospital.
Second night
syndrome.
Yeah.
If anyone hasn't heard of it before,
I haven't.
It's a thing.
I literally hadn't at that time. And so I was like, this is bizarre. Like, she's okay when she's on me. She's not okay when she's down in the little crib thing. Like, what is going on? Like, is it hurting her? Like, what's in the mattress? What's this? What's that? And I was like, can you please just sleep? Like, I just
where's the off button?
Yeah. So I really struggled with that a lot. And then as time went on, like, she started just sleeping in her cot, and then she started not liking it when it was too cold. And then we started going, okay, like, is it too cold? Is it too hot? Is it too this? And we went straight to external factors.
Yeah.
So something's wrong with, like, around her that she's not sleeping. Just didn't even go, oh, the kid just wants to be held.
Yeah. And so did she let you know that in any?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She eventually let us know that very clearly, that you just have to hold me.
I need some more cuddles.
And then I kind of went, oh, this is what this is.
Mm.
And then, like, I would just spend my time sitting on the lounge with her and she would sleep. And I'm going, okay. And you wait, you know, certain varying times, and you'd start timing how long she was on you for, and then go put her down, and then she'd wake 20 minutes later. I'm like, oh, I got the time wrong. Like, go back, start again, try again. And no, just wanted to be held.
And so that was when she was a tiny babe, or was this she was getting bigger?
No, so that's when she was a tiny one. And then come 3-4 months, she started sleeping quite all right. Like, she was sleeping through most of the night because we started having to use formula when she was 10 weeks old. I could no longer breastfeed, so she was always, like, she lacked the bottle, and then she'd have her dummy. And come, 3-4 months, she was pretty in her little routine.
Yeah.
She would feed on me to sleep, and then I'd put her down and she was fine.
Beautiful. And I love that too. So, like, with bottle feeding for your babes as well, did you find holding them while you fed them was a great way to make sure they got their snuggles in?
I was kind of like, how do you feed any other way? And people would be like, oh, just put them in the cot with the bottle. I'm like, I don't know how you do that.
Yeah, and you miss out on the cuddle.
But I was like, how do you know that how much she's had, and how do you know that she's actually drank it and it's not all through the cot? And, like, I was like, I can't do that. You can't just chuck her in the cot and go, there's your bottle, see you later.
Yeah. So safety-wise, just makes sense.
Yeah.
And also you get to hold your baby.
Yeah.
So bonus.
I was like, plus, like, she's not feeding from me, so the next best thing's she's on me when she's feeding.
Yeah, I think that's a great comparison too. Like, when you think about what a breastfed baby would have been doing, they would have been there. Yeah. So
I was like, if I was doing what I thought I would be, she would be
right there.
Yeah. So we kind of did that. And then Ross would do the skin on skin stuff. Like, he'd sit with his shirt off and feed her, like, the bottle to try and have that attachment.
Yeah.
So his attachment with the younger kids is very different to attachment with the older two. He's definitely had a lot of a challenge in developing that. So that's been interesting for him. It's been, like, completely different experience for his side as well. And even, like, with sleep, like, he'd come home from night shift, and if she was struggling to sleep, he would lay down in bed with her next to him.
Lovely.
Like, and that was his bonding.
Beautiful. So he was more than willing to be a part of that process as well. That's fabulous, especially if, like, when he'd had such a different experience with the first two kids and he missed a lot of those opportunities with them.
Yeah.
So did that come naturally to him, like, that he wanted to be able to do that, or did you prompt it along?
No, that was him. He just went, no, I didn't get, like, anything like this with the, like, my two kids. Like, I want, this is how I want it to be. He was very much like, it's your body, it's your choice around how you birth and everything. He's like, I would like to breastfeed. Like, I'd like our kids to breastfeed. That was his one thing where he kind of went, I know it's your body, it's your choice, but that's my input in that space. And I went, I'm fine with that. Unfortunately, she had other ideas. And that was just a very messy time. And then, he would feed the bottle, but he always did it in a way that was more focused on the connection than just, here's your bottle.
Beautiful.
Because it's so much more than food, isn't it? Regardless of what's going into bay, whether it's breastfeeding or formula feeding, that the whole experience of being fed is meant to be an experience. It's not meant to be just putting food into a body.
Exactly. And then, of course, because there's so little, most feed to sleep. So it's like that's their
comfort.
You know, and safety and everything. So
I love that. I love that it was like understood amongst the pair of you that that's what she needed and that's what was going on there. So you could actually protect it, I guess, especially when you're hearing from other people that just put them in the cot.
Put them in the cot,
Oh, well, I'm pleased that you're both on the same page for that. And so you said that she was sleeping through pretty early on.
Yeah.
Did that change for her through times when she was developing or anything like that?
Yeah, like if she was teething or anything like that, she'd wake a few times during the night. Some nights, like there were a couple where Ross literally put her in the pram and was walking her around because she wasn't happy being held, wasn't happy being rocked, wasn't happy being anywhere. And he was like, oh, like, I don't know what else to do. So we'd go and get the pram and he would literally walk laps around the house with her in the pram. And then she'd finally fall asleep and he'd be like, I don't want to take her out.
We had that too. We had this cul-de-sac that we live in. Oh, with one, a couple of our babies when it was just nothing else for it.
Yeah.
We'd take him out, lappies, and then you get that nerve-wracking back across the threshold. Can I stop yet?
And I was like, I don't like this. This is like way back at the beginning where I was timing and stuff. I was like, I'm not doing this. I can't do this.
Well, and you do, you kind of stress out thinking that, oh, if I start this, they're going to want me to do it forever kind of feeling.
Well, just that's what everyone tells you. Like, don't get them used to that. And it's like,
Don't get them used to what? Like, they need that in that moment. It's like, it's just not forever, is it?
No. Whereas now we're kind of like, whatever, go away.
It works. Like, we're good.
And then sometimes it's frustrating because it's like, you know, when you've got two or three that need you, it's like, ah, like, hang on, just hang on a second.
Yeah.
I'll just do this and then I'm there, like, you know.
Yeah, logistics.
I'm coming. Like, it's okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a challenge. But at the same time, the frustration around people going, oh, don't do that, or, like, you know, oh, you shouldn't do that, oh, we used to just do this. And it's like, okay, thanks.
Yeah, thanks for the tip. We're good.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And And so during the day, what were her sleeps like generally? Where were they and how was she managing that?
At the beginning, she would sleep for 4 hours at a time and then she would wake. And I used to think it was ridiculous.
Wow.
Like, not enough. I was like, because everyone said that.
Meanwhile, everyone's listening going, holy
hell,
moly.
That's like the dream baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that now. But at the time, like, because I was never interested in being a mom. Mm. It wasn't my
thing. Wasn't your thing?
No. And when I met Ross, he had the two boys and we went, that's enough. We're good. Like, we don't need kids. And then along came little Miss Three. And I went, my life is over, had a meltdown, took half the pregnancy to come to terms with, okay, we're actually having a baby. And so I was essentially in denial, so never read anything to do with baby because I was like, no.
You weren't even ready to be doing it full stop.
I'm not there. I'm not reading about it. I'm not reading all the books. I'm not doing all of that. Like, I'm not doing it. And people would always ask me, what book are you reading? Like, have you read this one? And I'm like, I'm not reading any books. I'm not doing that.
Which might have actually been your savior in the end.
And so then when she came along and all these things popped up, I was like, what is that? Like, how? And I was like, oh, maybe I should have read a book.
Yeah.
Like, maybe I should have done this. And then I was like, actually, no. Like, and then our biggest thing was just letting go. Like, just, you're not going to be able to keep living how you were. You have to let that go. And this is now.
It's like a process of grieving your old life while you're beginning your new one, isn't it? Because it's like, life changing.
I don't want to resent you.
Like, those feelings are so, I don't know many people who can get through that first baby experience without feeling some resentment, some missing your old life. Yeah.
And then all the guilt comes in and people start going like, oh, but like,
it's the best days of your life.
Yeah. And there's people that are struggling. You should be grateful.
I am grateful.
I'm not discrediting their journey, but mine's very different. So. Yeah.
Well, I think for anyone listening along, if you've had those feelings too, don't feel like you're alone. And there's a process they talk about now, matrescence.
Yeah.
And I've heard that they're also starting to realize there's also patrescence for the dads as well, and the partners. And it is a real thing. It's a massive shift in your body systems. Mm-hmm. It's the equivalent of adolescence, but in parenthood. And so in that time, you're going to go through massive upheavals, including feelings of missing your old life.
Yeah.
But the good news is it's a process, and you come out the other end of it. And
there is an end.
Yeah, there is an end, but it doesn't take you back to your old life.
No.
That person's now
different.
Gone. Yeah, you've changed.
Yeah.
But it will end up being a richer version of you. So that's the narratives around getting your old life back, or that
doesn't happen.
It's like a bizarre goal to set yourself up for. Because it's
failure.
Well, it literally doesn't exist anymore. No, like
it's failure.
Yeah.
Like, that's not, yeah.
Pre-kid you's not around anymore. No. So. But yeah, no, at all.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's your grief.
So if you're still in the process of grieving, sorry if we've just been a bit harsh on the reality of it all, but you're not alone. I definitely felt it heavily, and Teresa's felt it.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's many people out there who haven't had that to an extent as well. Mm-hmm. And that's also in your partnership, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you kind of grieve that.
Your whole relationship changes. Everything changes.
And it has to.
Yeah.
If it, like, it has to. It's not.
Because you no longer look at each other and just go, oh, like, we're so romantic. We're this, we're that. It's now I just changed the last 10 nappies. You're on. Like, that's a you. Or, like, you know, I've just been rocking for 2 hours. This next slot's yours.
The baby's yours.
Yeah. Like, it becomes a.
Like, no kiss at the door. How was your day? It's like, here's a baby.
Here's a baby. See that.
I'm having a shower. See ya. But yeah, but it is. It's also that. And I think relationships evolve through that time as well.
Yeah.
Like, I know we've been through rough patches at times.
Oh, gosh.
But it's also understanding that it's part of the process. You're not necessarily doing anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to ride those waves together is pretty important, I think.
I think it's also being open with your partner, like acknowledging that, you know, we are never going to be there
the pre-kid
anymore. Like, you know, it's just not going to happen.
There is older, like they're older children versions of couples and stuff too, that you look like, you know, the relationship evolves over the years.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I know even my relationship now with my husband, with our kids being out of that baby stage,
different again,
because you can be like, it's like, it's not, we're not doing anything magical to have reconnected or anything, but we can, there's just space, there's space for us to be reconnected, and but we're really proud of how we managed to stick together through really tough times at times with babies. But anyway, so this is, sounds like we first babe, big baptism of fire, but actually relatively cruisy little dude.
Yeah.
Not that you knew it.
No. She was like, she was,
cruisy, cruisy kid.
Yeah, 4 hour chunks, woke, fed. At the beginning, she would take an hour and a half to breastfeed of a night time. I got told that was normal, no issues, all the rest of it. I'd never actually experienced a letdown. So looking back now, I'm like, I can see where the feeding went sideways, but I didn't know it at the time because everyone was like, oh, you've got heaps of milk. You look like you've got heaps of milk.
Because you can look like you have heaps of milk.
And I was like, oh, okay, like you guys must know what you're talking about because you guys are working in a hospital. So surely if you're saying it.
Yeah, but it wasn't what you were saying.
No.
Mm.
And so, an hour and a half. So she'd be awake for 2 hours and then go back down for four. So, but after having the 21-hour labor, I was just exhausted. So I just kept rolling into this lovely, messy
exhaustion.
Yeah. That never really resolved. So, like, lost for months. And obviously, Ross was 7 and 7. He didn't have leave banked up because we were using leave for the boys at the time. So he had to go back to work. 2-3 days after she was born, after I came home.
Yeah. First baby.
Yeah.
Oh, ouch.
And then my mum left the day after I came home from the hospital. So it was literally like a
you're
labored. He's a baby.
No recovery.
Everyone's out.
Oh my gosh. Therese. Far from ideal.
So that's where I kind of went, what do I do with this little crying thing?
Yeah.
Like,
and you were looking at each other like, I don't know what I'm doing. And she's looking at you going, I don't know what I'm doing either. So
we were like, okay. I was like, righty, well, we're in this together. So let's just try and make this work.
Yeah.
And, so I struggled a lot with her as a newborn and working through all that. And then as time went on, I kind of went, this is easy. Like, why was I so...
Because it was really hard and at the start.
But just really, you know, like, oh, it should be this way, should be this way, should be this way. I was like, this is...
You were trying to keep up with the shoulds.
Yeah. And, like, people were always, oh, like, you know, you can do so much. Like, oh, we'll see you out all the time. Like, you know...
Who says that? Like,
so many people were saying it to me.
How are they? Like, they must have been a long way out of having babies.
I'd say so. They had to. Looking back, I'm like, you had no idea what you were saying. So, and then now, like, having second Bob, I was like, yeah, okay. Like, I know what to.
It's familiar.
Comfortable with.
Yeah.
And so then that's when I paid more attention to the feeding side of things. And then I noticed when things were going a bit sideways and then we were able to pull it back on track and things like that. So I was like, no, now I'm confident.
That is.
Because I was like, I'm comfortable to go, no, like this is what I want.
So you went in, did you, like what were you looking for and what did you try and change that helped?
So I let go of the expectation of the shoulds and I was like, you know what, I just don't care anymore.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the day, like we had a 16-month-old who was thriving.
Oh, yeah. By the way, so, yes, 16 months apart, yeah. Just quietly. Yeah. So she was thriving. Yeah.
So she was thriving. She was happy, like always happy. She was very colicky as a baby as well. But I think that was just a combination of like everything that was happening. And now I'm like, oh, like is colic linked to your gut health? What am I looking for now as you're getting older? Like,
yeah,
you know, and things like that. So I think I just became a lot more comfortable to go, no, like I think we're good.
Yeah.
Like we've got a 16-month-old who's fairly chunky. Like
we're pretty happy with how she's going.
She's fine.
Yeah.
So we're good. And then when it came to conversations around birthing second Bob, I was like, no, I don't want to be in the hospital. Like I'm not comfortable in the hospital. I want to be at home. And so that's when they said, oh, you can do 6-hour discharge. And I was like, perfect. Sign me up for that. I was like, if everything's all good and I don't actually need
to be
medical
there.
Monitoring,
yeah.
I don't want it. And they were like, oh, okay. Are you sure? I was like, I'm fine.
So when they discharge you, do you get like midwife support at home or how does that work?
Yeah. So I'm part of MGP, so midwife group practice. So I get my assigned midwife as such, and they've got an off partner for when they're not on, then you get the alternate. So it works out well. And she comes around and visits every week for the first 6 weeks after Bob's born.
Beautiful. So, and for anyone listening along too, like it's not on offer everywhere, but it is something that's been a proven model for best outcomes for mums and babies is having an own midwife.
More relaxed.
Yeah, definitely. It's just and I like gave birth here too, but I managed to dodge that. They never had the group practice up and running when I had my baby, so I missed it.
I think
they
only just started it with so all three of our kids will be through MGP.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure they only just started it with our first. So what's that? That would be 4 years ago.
Yeah,
pregnancy.
They were talking about it. I think there was a gap in staffing or something when I had my third baby because I remember like being so keen to access it, but I've only heard good things about it. It's a really great program.
Yeah.
So hopefully we're seeing more and more of that rolling out around Australia and the world because it really is an excellent model for the well-being of families.
Yeah.
So it's really worthwhile. So with your second love, I'm just wondering how did it, like did you approach or think you were going to handle it differently with her or and how did it go?
Yeah. So obviously having first Bob, I was a little bit more prepared than no books and I can do whatever. It's fine. It might just ignore it. It'll work itself out. And I had more of a, okay, like I'm just going to have to baby wear Bob a lot and this is what I'm going to do and this is how I'm going to manage having a toddler and a newborn and that's just that. like, it's going to be messy, it's going to be yucky. And I was already preparing myself for messy and yucky as opposed to going, oh, it's just going to be like,
hey, they just pop in the cot.
We just go sit in cafes.
Yeah.
And that's what you do on that day, apparently.
Yeah.
So I was like, no, that is not real.
You knew the reality. So I was like, you knew it was going to be messy.
Yeah. So I was more prepared. I was more relaxed or messy as opposed to.
It actually
helps. Expectation has to be.
Don't you think? Like, I remember because lowering expectations was actually really great for my mental health.
Oh, yeah.
And I know for some people, they say, you know, if you have low expectations, what else are you going to get? But for me, it's like low expectations are realistic when you're talking babies and toddlers.
Oh, yeah.
So having low expectations, it kind of sets you up for feeling more like, ah, yes, like I knew it was going to be messy. Yeah. I knew we'd have yucky days and whatnot.
Very yucky days.
Yeah. But 2 under 2, like what else is it going to be? Like it's a very challenging time.
Exactly.
And it doesn't mean you're doing anything wrong.
No. I would have comments made of, oh, you don't know what you're getting yourself into. Like 2 under 2 is really challenging. Oh, it's just, you know, it's horrible. You're going to look back and wish that you'd waited. And I was like, really?
Thanks.
Wow, that's so helpful. I was like, that's cool. But
like the realistic bit,
you stopped and gone, oh, did you guys actually plan your second child to be 2 under 2?
Yeah, maybe you did.
Kind of, not really.
Nah.
Like all three of our, this one's the most planned.
Yeah.
Out of all three. So we were like, oh, okay, like that happened a lot quicker than what we thought.
Yeah.
Because like conceiving children, I was told by a GP when I was about 19, would be very slim.
Yeah, right.
So
yeah, here you are.
Yeah. I was like, well, that worked out great for me. Thanks, mate.
I reckon.
Glad I didn't rely on that for contraception.
Absolutely.
but like, so that's a whole nother ball game, that one. But yeah, like having second Bob, I went in with less expectation and more of a focus on, do you know what? Like the first year is just messy.
Mm.
And eventually we'll get there. And eventually you'll find a pattern. And eventually, you know, it will be fine. And then I had more of a focus for myself on those 5 minutes where both of them just might be sleeping. I was like, that's when I'm going to have my cup of tea.
Yeah.
Like that's when I'm going to do. Yeah. Instead of worrying about putting on the washing and unstacking the dishwasher then, I'm doing it when they're awake.
Yes.
Like, you know.
Absolutely.
And things like that. So I shifted my focus of what I wanted to achieve in those smaller pockets of time.
Yeah.
And I found that helped a lot more.
Yeah.
I managed a lot better with my second than with my first. And we had the teenager. He was then 12, turning 13, with us at the time. So.
Well, I'm just looking at our time and I reckon I'm going to need to hear more details about this because I also do want to ask you about teen sleep as well because it's an interesting dynamic in the household. Do you mind if we do a second episode?
That's fine.
All right. Well, we'll finish off this episode with what we've had. Do you have a tip that you'd like to give our listeners, something you would have loved to have heard when you were expecting your first love maybe?
Just embrace it. Let it go. Like just let go of, like, you know, you can read books and stuff, but don't hold it as like your holy grail. Like there's no holy grail for any of it.
And you're not meeting anyone else's standards. It's not really their thing, is it?
It's your thing.
Yeah.
And it's fitting it with you and what you're comfortable with.
And your babe, isn't it? Like you've got your own unique human.
Yeah.
It's not anyone else's. They don't know what you're dealing with.
Nope.
So
and you'll learn them, they'll learn you. And you just, I don't know. It's kind of like it's a journey and it's one like, you know, when you meet your partner, do you just go straight to marriage? Like, you know, you kind of have to
get to know each other.
And that's essentially what you're doing.
Falling in love.
Exactly.
Even if you're already in love, you fall deeper and deeper. And part of that is that familiarity. And
exactly. And that's over time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like your baby's not going to know you sleeping in a cot.
No, it's so very true. I love that.
That's, you know.
There's a lot of connection to be had in that sleeping time as well.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for that first episode, Therese. I've absolutely loved chatting with you. I'm hoping everyone enjoyed listening along and taking a lot from that episode. Make sure you tune in next week to catch the second part of Therese's episode. Thanks for listening along.
I really hope you enjoyed the podcast today. The information we discussed was just that. Information only. It is not specific advice. If you take any action following something you've heard from our show today, it is important to make sure you get professional advice about your unique situation before you proceed, whether that advice be legal, financial, accounting, medical, or any other advice. Please reach out to me if you do have any questions or if there's a topic you'd really like us to be covering. And if you know somebody who'd really benefit from listening to our podcast, please be sure to pass our name along. Also, check out our free peer support group, the Beyond Sleep Training Project, and our wonderful website, www.littlesparklers.org. If you'd like even more from the show, you can join us as a patron on Patreon, and you can find a link for that in our show notes. If listening is not really your jam, we also make sure we put full episode transcripts on our Little Sparklers website for you to also enjoy, and fully captioned YouTube videos as well on our Little Sparklers channel. So thanks again for listening today. We really enjoy bringing this podcast to you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.